Hello, all you ghosties and goblins this week. And so begins my series in honor of Halloween. For the month of October, you can expect all sorts of delicious ghost stories from all kinds of human beings. It's my way of honoring the spooky season as it approaches and the very powerful day and night of All Hallows' Eve. When I was a kid, I absolutely loved dressing up. And one of the funniest stories I have is my very good friend Monica and I, we decided one Halloween to go as Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I think we were in about 7th or 8th grade, and these costumes were rented, and they came with giant hoop skirts to kind of give the idea of the girth of Tweedledee and Tweedledum. So we were out and about in my hometown. It's night, it's pitch black, and we heard rumors from other kiddos who were trick-or-treating that there was a really scary car with a bad muffler following kids around and kind of terrorizing them. We thought, oh, they're just overreacting. This isn't that big of a deal. And so we continued trick-or-treating until we got to this very dark block. We were in the middle of the block, and there were no houses with lights on to welcome a weary trick-or-treater, and no jack-o'-lanterns as far as the eye could see. Suddenly, at the end of the block, we could see and hear a very old station wagon. It pulled up to the stop sign, and its muffler was rumbling. We looked at each other and screamed and started running. We ran through this yard, and because we couldn't see because there were no lights, I tripped over a giant tree root and smacked into the ground, and Monica hid behind a tree, and the station wagon turned and slowly crept down the block towards us. I stayed flat as possible against the ground, and soon enough, the station wagon passed us and went on its way. It was only later that I realized that overhead, there was a street lamp that kind of semi-illuminated everything, and that I had been pressed against the hoop in my hoop costume. And so what they saw was me lying face down with my butt and the hoop in the air like a giant tent. I really just looked like a squashed Tweedledum who'd maybe gone on a bender and passed out in the front yard. That memory is so special to me, and Monica and I still laugh about it, because as a kid, the dark is so very real, and what lurks in the dark, even more real and even more scary. And it's with that story that I introduce my guest, Krista Kelly, who's had an interesting life, and right now she's envisioning her next great work, a gorgeous event in Las Vegas that helps educate about mental health, that brings together all sorts of human beings to talk about mental health, to have multiple stages where comedians will perform, where bands will perform. You want to talk about an epic event? This is going to be it. And it's all in service to help those who are suffering with mental health crises. Krista's stories are fabulous, and she tells four of them. I had such a fun time sitting back and listening, and I hope they're not too spooky for you. So now, episode 137 of Bite-Sized Blessings and our very first ghost story in our October Spookathon. You've kind of already told us a little bit about who you are, but I would love, like, how do you self-define? Like, who are you as a human being?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. I'm a unicorn, first of all. I am a redhead, blue-eyed ginger, which makes me 0.17% of the planet. I've got no ex-husbands and no children, so that makes me a unicorn. I grew up here. I was born in California, La Jolla. Grew up here in Oregon, Southwest Portland area mostly. God, I have always been a chef. I have a lifelong love of cooking. My mother is the worst cook on the planet, and I was 12. Her business partner became my mentor and taught me how to cook and cater and be a little social butterfly and host and all that, and basically kind of gave me the life I have now. I've been a celebrity caterer and private chef for 33 years. I have kind of walked away from that after 33 years. It's not that it got old. I hate to say it got boring, but all the schlepping, you know, the schlepping. I don't mind the cooking. I don't mind the events. I love the events, but the Costco trips and the in and out of the car to the catering kitchen and blah, 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 just got old. And I have decided to create and produce a music event. And so that's kind of my next phase in life. So right now I've got like one catering gig left, and I'm currently bartending in a friend of mine's club because it's easy money and I can leave it at work, stays at work, and I can focus on, you know, my project. And if I need to take a day off, I can do that. It's real easy. And I'm here on this farm, and I'm in heaven right here. It's so quiet at night. You can't hear anything but critters. It's so dark at night without curtains. I open my eyes and I don't even know if my eyes are open. It's literally, it's paradise here. There's no good ghost stories out here yet, but the bar I'm bartending in used to be a way stop for the train, had a water tank for the steam engines, a little kitchen, same kitchen, to feed the engineer and the workers. So I'm sure there's some good stories coming up, but the ones I have now are from some other places that they know I'm open to their existence. So maybe that's why I've seen a few things.
I'm so curious, you know, when you were growing up, was kind of ghosts and spirits and that kind of experience, was it normalized for you, or was this something that you just have been confronted by and you're like, whoa, this is real?
You know, I think as a preteen, I went through my witchy phase, my let's get the books at the library and look up some of the occult stuff and, you know, the Ouija board, whatever, all that. You know, Portland has Forest Park, and there's a place called Witch's Castle up there that everybody like to go and, you know, oh, it's spooky, whatever. It's just an old building. And Forest Park's the largest urban park in the country. I think it's even bigger than Central Park because it stretches for so long. So, you know, we all went through that phase. And I can remember one thing in high school. I don't know if it was ghosty, but it sure freaked me out. There was another house that's since been torn down that was one of those, you know, I dare you to go in as kids. And went in there with a bunch of kids one night. And I just remember going up the stairs. And then as I get to the top of the stairs, I'm at the landing that I just started on.
What?
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, I wasn't doing drugs as a kid. I wasn't my thing. You go up the stairs, and when you got to the top of the stairs, you were right where you started. And I only did it twice before I got the heck out of there because it was just too bizarre. I'm like, That was my first, like, you know, other realm experience, maybe. And then the one that really, really stands out to me, I was a chef at a fly fishing lodge called Staley Springs on Henry's Lake in Island Park, Idaho, in summer of 98, summer to fall of 98. And it was really old lodge. It's since been torn down. But I stayed in the lodge. I was the only one that, for the most part, alone stayed there. We had a few summer worker college kids, and they stayed in a different part of the lodge. But the main part of the lodge was a dining room, a tiny bar, and the kitchen, and my quarters. And I was standing there talking to the owner's girlfriend, daughter-in-law. Anyway, there's about five of us. They're all related. Besides me. And they had just set the dining room for morning, which was a small plastic cup, knife, fork, spoon, and napkin on each of the place settings at these beautiful log tables. We were just chatting, catching up about something for the morning. And all of a sudden, we heard a sound of silverware sliding. And we're looking around, and we look, and we see a table. And we walk over there, and we stood, all five of us, stood there and watched the silverware, the knife, actually, slide across the table, run into a plastic cup, and knock it on the floor. And we just looked at each other, and we're like, okay, did that just happen? I mean, we'd had a cocktail, the shift drink, but did that just happen? And we're like, okay, it's time to go to bed. I'm like, yeah, you guys could leave to go to bed. I have to go around the corner in this room and go to bed. But the thing about that space in that room is I had a cat at the time. And Jazzy was obviously stuck in my room during the day because it's a public space. But at night, we let her roam. That corner of the dining room where that happened, she would avoid like the plague. She'd walk over and then she'd like abrupt turn and walk the other direction around that area and go someplace else.
Were there any stories or like myths associated with that lodge?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we'd had, when I was there, we had fourth generations of families showing up. Prime example is on Friday night was prime rib night. And we only had two ovens in the kitchen, but we needed to cook three prime ribs. So the owner, Stan, would look at the lodging list and go, oh, yeah, go to whichever the closest cabins to the kitchen is what we try for. Yeah, go to cabin two. You can use their oven. They've been here three generations. They know us. It doesn't matter. Okay. So we like go and cook my prime rib in a guest oven. That's the kind of place it was. It was very old. Like the Orida executive staff would come once a year and have a fishing meeting. And yeah, I'm sure there's tons and tons and tons of stories and lore that I never heard about, but that was definitely one of the weirder things that ever happened to me.
Well, were you scared?
No, it was just concerning. I'm not sure that it was maybe a little scared, but at the same time, it was just like, okay, what did we just see? What is that? What just happened? It was more curiosity and interest in what the than being scared, but it was definitely freaky. That would have been 98. In 97, I worked at a place called Nature's Fresh Northwest.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you remember Nature's. Okay, well, back in the day, I worked in their central kitchen, and we had, we were in the basement at about 15th and Fremont, I think. And it was an old, the building was built in 1910 or something. And it had been some sort of butcher shop upstairs, meat packing downstairs. So, you know, there's some violence associated with that in general, in my opinion. I'm a chef. I'm not a vegetarian, but, you know, I understand how, you know, the process of meat. So there could be some anger or fear or whatever associated with meat. So I can see why there'd be ghosts there.
Yeah.
But I was putting some stuff away. We had six locations. So say we made enchiladas. You'd make whoever ordered it, whichever location, you label it with, you know, Fremont or Vancouver, whatever. And you'd put it on a big cart. You'd roll it over this hump in the floor because it was a butchery. There was the raised floor so they could hose things off. But to make it easy for us, you know, between apartments, they put a nice little ramp over that. So the ramp, you go up the ramp and down the ramp with the cart. It's a huge walk-in, probably, I don't know, 30 by 10 or something. It's a big walk-in. And as I'm coming with a huge rolling cart full of food over the little hump, start to go down, the walk-in door pops open. I'm like, well, that's cool. Thanks. I'm like, hey, thanks. So I carry my merry way and I open the door. There's nobody in there. There's nobody in the department. It's the end of the night. I'm there myself. These are the kind of old school walk-in doors you have to pull a really hard tug on a handle, a long handle, pull it, and it, you know, opens. So this thing didn't just randomly open by some micro earthquake or a breeze. It wasn't breezy. It's a basement. That one scared me. I literally rolled my cart in. I didn't put it on the shelves it was assigned to. I rolled it, closed the door, clocked out, and ran upstairs. That was it. It was done. But yeah, that one, I mean, I don't know what else to explain that by besides a helpful spirit. Definitely not mean or angry, but hey, thanks, but maybe don't do that when I'm down here by myself. And then we had supposedly there was a ghost named Joe that was upstairs, and he'd wander the chip aisle, which I believe back in the day was where the front of the shop, like where the meat would be displayed. So we heard about Joe a lot. We'd hear about his sightings, and I personally never encountered him because I wasn't spending a lot of time in the floor of the shop. But that was everybody knew about Joe. That was just fact. As far as anybody that worked there was concerned, it was just part of the, you know, part of the furniture. We have a ghost. Okay, cool. And then one other that stands out is my next door neighbor was a bartender at a place called the Gemini in Lake Oswego. And she's a ginger as well. And she was opening one morning, it's like 10:30 on a Saturday or something. It was just her and the cook. And she said she heard a bar stool slide. So she's short. She's like my height, like 5'4". And she walks around the edge of the bar and looks, and there's a bar stool just sliding its way. So she yelled for the cook, and he came out, and they just watched a bar stool slide down the floor. Yeah. And I trust her. She's not, you know, she actually quit shortly thereafter to become an insurance agent. So I think it might have freaked her out.
There's probably less bar stools sliding across floors in the insurance field.
I'm hoping for her sake, yeah, that that's the case. I absolutely believe what she said. And the place, I've been there dozens of times since then. And everybody, the manager, the other, oh, yeah, we hear stuff all the time. So it's like, oh, okay. And I'm not sure what the history of that building is, but it's just right at the main, it's right on 43 there in Lake Oswego. So it's probably had its fair share of, you know, who knows, coming off the river in the back in the day, get a few pirates or who knows. But yeah, that one pretty much. Oh, God. I just remember one. Oh, okay. I lived in Twist, Washington. I fell for Y2K, the fine sinker, bought a house and a chainsaw. And the time I got up there, I was promised a job. It's on Mountain. The time I got up there, the chef had walked off, as chefs often do. Bit of a volatile crowd we are. And so they didn't have a job for me. I was like, okay. So I had a mortgage and a job. So I went to this place in Winthrop that I just tried to look up to get the name, and it looks like it's gone. It was a really old building. And I got on as a bartender there. And I just remember being alone at night, closing up, and I could hear footsteps upstairs. There was an old hotel up there. Absolutely, the place is sealed off. There's nobody up there. And I'm like, okay, that's trippy. And I just thought, well, somebody's here or whatever. So I told, you know, the crew the next day, they're like, yeah, that's sealed. Nobody's up there. And yeah, we have a ghost problem. I'm like, good to know what I heard. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a ginger thing.
It could be. I mean, I love that the people are just like, oh, we have a ghost problem. Like, it's cockroaches. And
yeah, it's basically that was the attitude was like, oh, yeah, that happens. Like, thanks for warning me.
Well, what I think is really fascinating about your stories is, you know, people, you know, of course, there are all these shows, right, on TV, Ghost Hunters, you know, all these, and they really, really kind of play up the fact that these entities are malicious or angry or dangerous, you know, like scary and terrifying. But kind of all of your stories, you know, the people have learned to live with them, with these energies, whatever they are, you know?
Yeah. I think energy is the right term.
And they're not scared. They're not, I mean, I was thinking about your story about the knife sliding across and on the floor. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's probably some woman who used to run the dining room, and she had OCD, and she's like unhappy with how you put the silverware down. And this is her only way of saying, okay, this is not appropriate, or you're not doing a good job.
That may very well be. It had been owned by this family for, I don't know how long, not forever. I think Stanley bought it, or Staley Springs. Stanley was the owner. I don't know how long he'd had it for, but yeah, it's energy. The term energies is perfect because I am kind of a science nerd, and when I get stressed, if I'm in an event I can't escape, say a social thing and it's a party and people are annoying or I'm just overwhelmed or whatever, I immediately get on my phone and start string theory or physics or whatever. I'm fascinated by that concept. And I know that everything is basically on an atomic level, subatomic level. It's all the same. It's all little particles of energy. It's just, how does it come together? Does it come together as this piece of hair, as my watch, as that barbecue, as a cat, as a tree? It's just all the same. It just is how it's formed and holds together. So it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility that there's another dimension that this energy can travel between. And I think sometimes, like I said, the veil gets thin at whatever reason, and the energy just comes through. So I like that she used to work there and did it a certain way, and those women were doing it in a different way. That makes perfect sense. I'm gonna have to throw that at Joy, because she was one of the women that was in there, and she's still a friend of mine. She's still out in Ennis, Montana.
What I really think is just so intriguing about all of your stories is there's, you know, yes, that one with the door in the basement of Nature's was scary, because I know the kind of doors that you're talking about. And you know, if it was, in fact, a butchery and they processed, like, those doors and those freezer spaces, I mean, they weigh so much. You kind of wonder, how the hell did anyone even put this in here? Because it's so heavy. And
two-handed, you know, shove when you get it to unlatch. They don't just fly open.
No. In the
only a few inches. I mean, it didn't like come 10 feet open or all the way open, but it was just a couple inches enough to be open so I could just grab it and get the card in. So it's helpful. I appreciate that. I'll take help anytime, any way, shape, or form. Thank you, Spirit. Sure.
Yeah, I think it's really intriguing that pretty much all the spirits were non-threatening and were kind of helpful. Because, I mean, that kind of just raises the question that maybe we as humans, you know, obviously in our daily lives, we can't access these planes of existence or these fields or what have you, these dimensions that, you know, these entities are living in. But it sounds like, you know, I'm hearing your stories, and some of them obviously can access our dimension and can make things happen here. And yours are all non-malicious. It's kind of like these helpful little gremlins that come in and are like, hey, man, you need an extra hand here or whatever. I mean, with the silverware, if that woman was alive and telling me I was doing everything wrong, I would have been irritated. I'd be like, that malicious little gremlin over there. But she's not alive now.
She's doing the only thing she can do, which is show us how it should be.
Yeah.
Or disapproval of how it was. Which, actually, now that you say that, it's funny, because they put everything on a napkin, and then they put on the, you know, on the left side, and then a juice glass. Well, technically, officially, you know, fork on one side, knife and spoon, and on the other, fork, napkin, knife and spoon, glass up. So from an etiquette point of view, she wasn't wrong.
No.
Technically, but you know, it was an early morning lodge in Idaho, so it wasn't going to be fancy.
Yeah.
But on a true etiquette, yes, the silverware was in the wrong place. So you may very well be correct.
It's so interesting, because a few years ago, I went to this super, super, super haunted hotel here in New Mexico, and it's well known for being haunted. You know, they don't really rent out rooms very much anymore, but a lot of history happened around that hotel. Billy the Kid, the land wars, like a lot of stuff. There's a lot of deep and really kind of sometimes violent, but really potent.
Wow.
Potent things happened in this area, but especially at this hotel.
Lingers.
Yeah.
Maybe energy lingers.
Yeah.
Something significant or important or dramatic or painful or whatever happens there, I'm wondering if the energy doesn't just kind of stick around.
Oh yeah. And you know, I was on the second floor, which had a few rooms that were still available. They're from like late 1700s, early 1800s. And you know, I was like, just like, oh, I wonder, like, can I feel the ghosts? Do I know they're here? Like, and I walked all throughout that whole second floor, and I couldn't feel anything until I got to the very, very end of the hall. And there was this one door, and all it said was storage. So I just could very palpably, it felt like something was hiding back there.
Oh, wow.
And that it wasn't like scary, but that this was its only safe place where it could be safe during the day, or I don't know if it's all the time, but it was just such a marked distinct feeling from the rest of the hotel. I just thought, oh, I mean, it didn't bother me. I was like, oh, there it is. It's like back there. I don't know what it is, but something's back in that storage closet, which was locked. Like I couldn't go in, which was fine. But it is interesting. Like if you tune yourself to that kind of thing or you open yourself up to it.
Hey, I think it's legit. I think there's something out there. You know? I think it's to be discovered yet. I think we'll get more sensitive instruments or so. I think things will change in the future that we'll be able to access more completely that energy.
Yeah, I hope so too, because who knows what kind of conversations we can have.
Right? A little insight into the past might be good for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that woman would be like, look, you're totally doing that wrong, and that knife and fork, is everything's wrong here. Goblins, what did you think about all those stories? I kind of like the idea that ghosts can be helpful, and in fact, that they do want to help. That warms the frigid little iceberg of my heart. I hope you get to enjoy this season, that of falling leaves, the changing colors on the trees. If you're in the desert Southwest, I hope you enjoy the smell of roasting green chili. Every part of the U.S., and indeed the world, celebrates fall in a different sort of way. We have the most glorious sunsets here in New Mexico, and because I'm moving in 2 weeks, I'm trying to relish every single moment of this season. And meanwhile, I'd like to thank Krista for all of her spooky stories, and I'm very excited to announce that I'm going to help her kind of put together and organize this mental health event. I'm hoping to help her bring it to the world, so stay tuned, listeners. I'll have more updates in the future. I need to thank the spooktacular musicians whose music I used this week. Alexander Nakarada, Frank Schroeder, Serge Brisson, and Sasha End. For complete attribution, please see the Bite Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. When things go bump in the night, or when a door mysteriously opens in front of you, or someone tries to chastise you for the way you've set your table, keep it together and know that you're witnessing the magic and the mystery in this universe, and that quite possibly on the other side of that veil that separates us from these other spirits, from these spirits out there, they're just over there wanting to help us. And maybe, just maybe, they also want to be friends. Battery leak. Are you scared yet? The monsters are real. Are you scared yet? The entropy feels it's got nowhere to go. Nowhere to go but here.
We're there's more than our dimension.
Yeah, absolutely.
People that assume we're the only beings in the dang universe, I'm sorry, that's just egotistical. Obviously, there's more of it, more out there than us. And the same thing in different realms. I don't think we're just what we see and hear around us. I think we're multidimensional, and I think that sometimes, as they say, the veil gets thin between the dimensions, and I think that's when things happen. There's more than our dimension.
Yeah,